Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. My name is Daryl Urbanski, your host as always. And today we are joined by Mark Mears. Mark is a purposeful brand builder, servant leader, and best-selling author, passionate about helping individuals, teams, and organizations unlock their true growth potential. With over 30 years of executive leadership experience at iconic brands like PepsiCo, McDonald's, and the Cheesecake Factory, Mark combines strategic insight with a heart-centered approach. As a creator of the revolutionary LEAF growth model focused on leadership, engagement, accountability, and fulfillment, he empowers others to grow from leader to legacy builder. Whether consulting, speaking, or coaching, Mark inspires transformative change by aligning purpose with performance. I've asked him to join us here today to share his story and how we can all start growing better, faster, and on purpose. So, Mark, thank you so much for joining us today. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, Daryl. I really appreciate this opportunity to spend some time with you and your listeners.
Yeah, I'm excited. We had a great call the first time. I love your model. I love what you're about. We share a lot of the same values and beliefs. But before we hop into any of that, how did you even get started? Like, how did you get into this? Do you come from a family of entrepreneurs? Are you just carrying the torch your parents gave to you?
No way. I never in my wildest dreams thought I would be an entrepreneur. I have been a corporate America team guy for those 30 some odd years that you mentioned, and have worked for some really incredible companies and have been blessed to have had some awesome mentors along my path. And now I am a entrepreneur with only three employees, me, myself, and I. And we don't often get along, so I'm not sure how well that's working. But to rewind back to how I even got where I'm at now, it was back in undergrad at University of Kansas. I'm from Kansas originally, and I now live in Kansas City, but I've lived in Chicago twice, Dallas twice, Atlanta, Los Angeles, and Austin, Texas, before kind of quote unquote coming home, even though I grew up in Wichita. Kansas City was my second home. My dad was from here, and University of Kansas is literally 35, 40 minutes down the road. I'm back in a place where I feel like I belong, and that word will come in to view and be more relevant to our conversation as we move forward. But I thought I wanted to be a lawyer, and so I went to KU with the idea of going to law school, and you can't major in pre-law, so I asked around and said, "Hey, what do you think will best prepare me? What kind of curriculum should I be studying that's going to prepare me for law school and to be a successful lawyer thereafter?" They said, "Mark, you're going to do a lot of reading, a lot of writing, a lot of research, a lot of presentations, and really a lot of critical thinking." And I said, "Great. What curriculum will prepare me for that?" And they said, "Have you thought of the School of Journalism and Mass Communications?" And I thought, oh, they go, yeah, you're going to be doing a lot of those things there. And so, sure enough, I did. I got into it and I really enjoyed it. And I was more on the marketing communication side than the news and editorial reporting side. Even though that was of interest, I really dug this idea of figuring out people and ways of connecting them to a product or service that would benefit their life. So, I had a wonderful mentor, a professor, Dr. Tim Bengtson, who saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. And he pulled me aside and said, "Hey, Mark, I know you say you want to be a lawyer, but you're really good at this. And I wonder if you've looked into grad school." I said, "No, I'm still going to law school. I'm just doing this to be better prepared." So then I started to ask different people. I had some fraternity brothers that were in law school. I had some people that I knew that were re recently out and now professionally serving as lawyers. And there were people I talked to who had their name on the letterhead. Daryl, nobody was encouraging. Nobody sounded like they were having any fun. So I went back to Dr. Bengtson and said, "Hey, we should explore this grad school thing." And so, sure enough, he says, "Okay." And he said, "You need to go to Northwestern in Chicago. It's the best school in the country for marketing communications." I did. And there I met another professor, Dr. Don Schultz, who came up with the concept of integrated marketing communication, or what's commonly known today as IMC. And there are IMC curriculum in universities and colleges all over the world now. But I was in on the ground floor, had a chance to literally sit at the feet of the master in that discipline of integrated marketing communication became the bedrock or foundation for my career. And started off in advertising, then more general marketing, promotion, and then later becoming a CMO for different brands, and ultimately a president of a $500 million casual dining chain with 145 locations in 24 states,
Wow.
which will become very important when we start talking about my book. So right now, I serve as a founder and chief growth officer. I'm a growth junkie. So I'm of Leaf Growth Ventures, which is a consultancy I formed to inspire individuals, teams, and organizations to find purpose in fulfilling their true growth potential. And in doing so, create a positive, lasting difference in the world.
I love that. I love that. I love that. So now your story is very coherent. So is it that you learned a skill set and then it was all sunshine and rainbows and the heavens parted and you've just had this illustrious career and now you're here to bestow?
No, not at all, Daryl. I liken it to a roller coaster, okay? How you have this mixture of fear and anticipation as you're going up the main hill, and then you get to the top of it and you're scared shmitless about what's about to happen. And then, of course, you go down and you feel this sense of exhilaration and thrill. And then you have your winding turns and ins and outs and upside downs before you come back into the station. And I looked at my individual job opportunities in that way, and then also just my overall career arc. Because usually, though, when you get to the station, if you haven't thrown up already, you want to get back on. And that's how it's been for me. It's the ups, the downs, the in-betweens, and everything that had really molded my character. And I learned from the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so I've had some tremendous pinch me moments where I don't want to sound like I'm bragging, but I've actually walked the red carpet at a couple of Hollywood premieres when I was head of marketing and sales for Universal Studios Hollywood. And I also had my own golf cart with my own parking space, my own sign with my name on it. And I
What?
could drive that thing through the back a lot and go see movies that being produced, see stars at the commissary. And I'd walk the park and I'm feeling like I'm helping these people have their best day.
That's
And that
crazy.
was wonderful. But I've also had some punch in the gut moments along my journey, the kind that I wouldn't inflict on my worst enemy if I had one. And I look back, and one of those was what gave me the epiphany to write my book. And that's basically February 21st, 2013. And I mentioned to you about being the president of a $500 million casual restaurant chain, again, 145 locations in 24 states. I was recruited to take on this role from my role previously at the Cheesecake Factory, where I was a chief marketing officer. And I was given three kind of directives. The brand is down double-digit negative in sales. You got to turn it around. The brand has gotten a little long in the tooth, lost its way a bit. So you got to put a new, exciting, contemporary brand positioning out there that we can build around, as well as a new concept that could earn the right to capital as we grow not only those 145 current restaurants, but new locations. So I built the team, and sure enough, within a couple of years, we turned the brand around from double-digit negative in sales.
Now,
We,
is that a
but
process of almost rebuilding the brand from the ground up? Because to do that sort of thing, you really have to tap, you have to build a bridge to the market from where the company
yeah.
is. And if the company's gone astray, you can't just put lipstick on a pig. Can you speak to that a little bit? Like, how do you build that bridge?
You can't start from scratch because you already have these assets,
Right,
right? And
right.
you already have at least some level of recognition and trial and adoption, and some people loved it. So the point wasn't to start from scratch. I have very few gifts, Daryl, but one of them is a sense of vision. And I could see that this brand, you've heard about houses or structures, and you say, it's got good bones. It just needs some vision to be able to get the very most out of it and connect it to its higher purpose. And so in that process, we did a lot of research. We used the foundation that we already had, but then we clarified it. And we went after taking what we were best at, getting rid of what we weren't best
Perfect.
at,
Yeah.
and then trying to really build on that with a fresh new positioning that allowed us to create a new menu, new design and decor, but all building on its heritage and just taking that clay and molding it into something more beautiful than what was there before.
And in the marketing, is there, what are your, do you do, forgive me if these are coming out of left field or right, but you've been involved in such large projects. To what extent is it brand awareness, and what extent is more direct response?
You have to start with awareness. And so I have a model, and I learned this years ago in marketing, and it's think, feel, do. And I added a fourth element because I believe in the higher power of fours versus the rule of threes, which we'll talk about in a minute. And I added relate. Think is rational. I need to eat. And feeling is emotional. What am I in the mood for? Reaching back into my mind vault of experiences. Where have I gone and had a good experience? And then do is taking action, right? Is it for lunch? Is it dinner? Is it breakfast? Is it whatever, right? And then relate now through the magic of social media, more than just our parents talking to a neighbor over the white picket fence as to how they got their clothes so clean. We now have the ability through reviews and social media to be able to help relate our experiences, right? And so that to me was the model, is getting it to be an experience so good that someone would want to be able to talk about it to their friends, their family, their neighbors, their coworkers, using social media, review sites. And so now you're stretching your marketing dollar further because you're letting your guests do part of the work. But you've earned that, right? Because you treated them in a certain way, like a guest, and not just as a faceless, nameless customer
I
or
love it.
transaction, but you've built a relationship that will stand the test of time.
I love that. That makes so much sense. Say if a sale is a golden egg, then the customer is the goose who lays them. And so everybody knows that a business needs repeat customers to survive, but not many focus that much on retention. Everybody's hyper-focused on the fresh blood into the system. And that's, like you said, if you can improve the vector of referrals, that's it.
Yes.
It just,
Like any business, though, when you think about it, I don't care if you're in B2B or B2C, you're selling a product or a service or an experience. The point is to maximize the relationship with that guest or customer or client, depending on your industry, to where they want to come back more often and tell their friends. And that's the most sincere form of marketing, and certainly the most productive form of marketing you can buy,
And so,
right?
like, it's like bare bones. The business is there to help people with something. Like, my teeth hurt. I go to the dentist. I'm hungry. I go to the Cheesecake Factory. I'm bored. I go see a movie. So, some of this isn't even necessarily rocket science. It's just that people get so lost in what they want as the business owner that they lose sight of actually taking care of that person.
And so I look at each business, any of that you just mentioned, as having four key stakeholders. The first is your team members. I believe it was Simon Sinek who said, customers won't love your brand until your, he says, employees, I say team members. Team members love it first. So you've got to look after your team members that then look after your guests, who then have the great experience that pours profit into your business partners, whether they're investors or whether they may be the supplier partners or distributors or agency partners. But they have a vested interest in your success. And then your fourth stakeholder is your community. And to me, that's often overlooked.
It
So
is
when you're
overlooked.
thinking, about business, most people say, we're in this to make a profit. And you are, but there's a road that leads to profitability that is paved with purpose.
You're the first guest that I've had that mentioned that. So we spent in 2020, I spent 50 grand to hire 10 people to help me go, 10 assistants to go through all the academic literature on business success to try to figure out what are the critical success factors that move the needle. And we went through hundreds, if not thousands, of studies. A lot of them were meta-analyses. And we came up with eight factors, which was self-efficacy, market intelligence, marketing strategy, sales strategy and skills, money management. I'm missing one. Strategic planning. That I was in there. Money management, business. Wait, what was the third one? Market intelligence. So what was it? Sorry, self-efficacy, market intelligence, strategic planning, marketing strategy, sales strategy and skill, money management, business operations, and business intelligence. And for marketing strategy, like we build in, dug into the subcomponents of each. And for marketing strategy, all the research said that the key pillars were market intelligence, the product characteristics, the quality and fit, intense advertising and networking, brand integrity, trustworthiness, and then corporate social responsibility. Community
Yeah.
development has a positive ROI and ethical values, conformity to legal processes. These were things that have a positive ROI on business success, and nobody talks about it.
Yeah, Daryl, I could have saved you close to your 50,000 if you would have bought my
Oh,
book, The
fuck yeah.
Purposeful Growth Revolution: Four Ways to Grow from Leader to Legacy Builder. Here is a playbook that you and your listeners can review that's literally designed to take you step by step on how you can grow in a purposeful manner. And so all those things you just mentioned are true, but they're all a lot of dots that need to be connected. So the model I created is this LEAP growth model. And I was telling you about the epiphany that hit me when I came up with that, but it's literally using nature as a metaphor for growing personally and professionally. And so I was telling you about the brand I was told to turn around, and my team and I did. And within 2 years, we did. And instead of them giving us the capital with the right to grow that we've earned, they decided to move in a different direction.
I
In other
hate
words, put it up for sale. Yeah, that's like the worst phrase I've ever heard. And it's designed to let you down in some way that's somewhat positive. Like, it's not about you, it's us. We've decided to move in a different direction,
Great
right?
work. Here's your golden handshake.
Yeah.
That's
I
how
think I had some girlfriends in high school who said the same thing. I don't know. But anyway, they were putting us up for sale. And we're like, okay, don't worry, Mark. You are going to lead the sale process. And we're going to give you a stay-on bonus and a sales bonus if it goes through. If we don't like what we're seeing in the marketplace, we're not going to sell it. And life goes back to usual, right? I'm like, okay, that's not what I signed up for. And my team and I were sacrificing. And I was in Orange County at the time, yet I lived out in Valencia, which is about 2 hour and 15, 20, 30 minutes, depending on traffic in LA. And so I was staying in a hotel Sunday night through Thursday night, away from my family. No way I could have commuted that way. It would not have been practical.
No, wouldn't it?
And then we had 145 restaurants, so I was visiting them. We were owned by a publicly traded company in Ohio, so I was visiting there for board meetings, quarterly earnings calls, you name it. And I know I was burning myself out, my team was, but we had this noble vision that we were going to make this the turnaround for the ages. And so we go through the sales process and we find someone that is not a private equity firm. It was a strategic play, and we felt like they were going to be our rightful owner. They said all the right things through the courtship process, and they were good people to work with. We felt like we were really meshing and hitting it off well. The deal closed on a Friday. We're drinking champagne, celebrating over the weekend. Monday morning, 8 o'clock, I'm supposed to have a meeting with the new CEO to plan our future together. At 8:05, Daryl, I'm out the door. We've decided to move in a different direction. And I said, what, over the weekend? So I get a few minutes to get a box of stuff to put in my car and drive 2.5 hours home. And this was February 21st, 2013. And that's about the time the first signs of spring start to emerge in Southern California. Certainly not in Kansas City, where I live, but in Southern California. And we had a fig tree in our backyard that was barren from the 5 or 6 weeks of winter that we do get in Southern California. After a fitful night of sleep, I get up early and I take the dog outside to do his business in the backyard. And Daryl has got as my witness, as the sun was coming up over the wall in our backyard, it shone on that barren fig tree. There on the end of one branch was a tiny little green sprig of a leaf just starting to bud. And in that moment, I got this epiphany that a leaf is a symbol of growth and rebirth. And I took the dog inside and I went into my office. I started banging out a treatment. And it hit me that not only is Leaf a symbol of growth and rebirth, but I got to thinking, I used to manage, maybe lead with the rule of threes. I don't know if you've heard it. Basically, it's a thing. It says if you focus on three things, think of a three-act play, think of a TED talk, think of things that kind of come in threes, and they say you're going to get people more, it's going to be more clear, they're going to be more focused, they're going to be more productive, and you're going to get better results. My three things in leading that turnaround were leadership, engagement, and accountability. And I would use that in almost every communication, whether it was email, personally, we had voicemail blasts back in the day. And I would use this part of recognition and reward. I'd say Daryl is leading his team and they're getting fantastic results. Or Daryl is engaging his team on a deeper level and look at the results they're getting. Or he's holding them accountable and look what they're doing. So leadership, engagement, and accountability until that morning after, I realized something was missing in that model. Fulfillment. My team and I were burning the candle at both ends. We were chasing numbers to chase numbers. We were sacrificing because we thought we were chasing this noble cause, only to have the rug taken out from under, not just me, my whole team. And then moving the office from California to their Dallas headquarters, everything they said they wouldn't do, okay, that wasn't very fulfilling. Because here we created this thing that got bought. And now we're not able to take it forward. We'll take it from here, pat on the head. And so that's when I wrote down this model in my mind's eye. I saw a four circle Venn diagram and the fourth element, fulfillment. I said, oh my God, a leaf is not only a symbol of growth and rebirth, it's an acronym, which stands for leadership, engagement, accountability, and fulfillment. And so that became this model that I built out where leadership represents the seed and the root system. And that fig tree in my backyard gave me this vision to say, hey, that fig tree has to grow its roots so that it can create a foundation. And same thing in a company, you have to have strong leadership to create a foundation. And what I'll say next is the result is alignment, right? Engagement represents the trunk, the branches, and the system of nourishment, which I learned in Spanish is called savia, translated to English as lifeblood. What's the lifeblood of any organization? It's people, right? And the outcome of that process is empowerment, because we know empowered people are more invested in the outcome. They'll give you more discretionary and more discretionary effort, and you'll get better results. They'll stay longer. And they'll be more satisfied and they'll relate to you and others. This is a great place to work. And then we move into accountability, which represents the leaf and the fruit. That fig tree in my backyard, it's accountable. Its purpose is to grow fig leaf, where all growth happens in that fig tree, but not just stop there. It's to ultimately result in fig fruit. That in that fig fruit is not only sustenance for people and animals, but it has seeds in it that can be scattered for future growth. And that benefit is achievement. And finally, fulfillment. What was missing? It's a nurturing environment. Think of it as the soil, the sun, the rain that creates that perfect balance for photosynthesis to occur. That's the same thing in a culture of an organization. So it's the environment that can create the ability for that tree or that person to grow into its full potential. And so that model has become the foundation for the book that also is a self-assessment on my website that you can take. It takes about 5 or 6 minutes, and it will give you a benchmark on where do you stand currently with purpose in both your life and your work.
I love that. So you, I think you just gave the answer. I was thinking, where would someone struggling or starting out begin? And you just said there's an assessment. You've got a way for
Yes.
them to test themselves.
Yeah. You go to markamears, MEARS.com. There on the homepage, you'll see it right in front of you. And you click on the link, and it takes you about 5, 6, 7 minutes total. And when you're done, I will send you a customized full color PDF with your results and some helpful tips, or what I call seeds for growth, from me. And then that can begin a conversation, because you might see where you're really strong, and you might see where you're not as strong, and you may see where the company you work for is strong and where it's not so strong. Because again, the point is to find alignment,
Right.
that share the values, the company that you work for are sharing your values, and vice versa.
Right.
And you're integrated within this whole bigger, noble purpose that guides you and that serves as your North Star. And the research that I just saw from Deloitte this summer said that nearly 90% of millennials and Gen Zers want purpose at work. So there is the younger generation that's basically saying, I'm not going to follow the work-life balance myth of my parents and their parents. I want to follow a life work purpose so that I have my priorities in order. And it's just, I have 20, almost 27-year-old twin daughters, and both of them are smarter than I am. But what I will say is they have a very different expectation of work than I did. We didn't have that as an option.
No.
We grew up with the old command and control management style that no longer serves us. It worked when the GIs came back from World War II and got into business. They basically employed similar techniques to what they were trained in the Army. That's great in the Army, where people, it's life or death. In the workplace, it worked for a while. But what I think everyone's learning is that hierarchical style of management is no longer the way for diversity to be seen as a competitive, leverageable advantage, and innovation to take place in as rapid a form as it needs to keep up with the pace of change, whether it's technology change, global change. The headwinds facing business today are as fierce as they've ever been. You can't do what you did last year and get the same results. If you do that, you'll go backwards, right? So you need to be able to create an environment where diversity of thought, I don't care if you're low man on the totem pole or if you're the CEO, ideas can come from anywhere. And if you create an environment where people feel like they belong, where there's a sense of community, and I want to hear from you, all of a sudden now you're going to get, again, the discretionary effort. You're not going to see the quiet quitting that we have been hearing about and seeing in the workplace pretty much since COVID, as people are now in hybrid or remote work environments. It's even harder to keep the engagement, or at least see when people are actively engaged and when they're not. But leaders today, I should say managers, need to learn how to be leaders, and leaders need to grow in to living legacy builders, not just a legacy definition that a lot of people think of that scares them, which is, I'm going to bequeath something of value to people I love after I'm dead and buried. I'm talking about a living legacy. And that's what you do with every 24 hours a day we're given. Not one of us is granted 1 minute more or 1 minute less, but it's how you use those 24 hours in how you treat your team members, not employees, team members, because words matter. Those of us who grew up playing sports, or maybe you played in a band, or maybe you've been on some other kind of team, you understand the role that you play, the sense of duty that you have, the camaraderie and esprit de corps you have with your fellow team members, all striving for a common purpose, right? And so that same dynamic occurs in the workplace. But people need to be clear on what their role is. But then they need to also be free to opine on somebody else's role. If they see an opportunity for improvement, not about critiquing somebody.
It's about it getting
It
better, being better.
yeah, iron sharpens iron. You see, I live in Kansas City, home of the two-time world champion Kansas City Chiefs. Sorry, had to get that out there. And you see these players sometimes arguing on the sidelines, right? They're trying to make their teammates better. They're trying to refocus them. They're trying to get them to play up to their potential that other team member knows they have. And so that's the same thing, but in this case, in the workplace, in a more humanistic, relational, loving environment.
I love it. What do you think are some of the most important skills and habits for someone to develop? We've talked a lot about the LEAF process. We've talked a lot about, like you just mentioned now, engagement and engage the different pieces of it. But are there specific habits and skills that you think are mission critical?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, Daryl, because I'm a big believer in research. Okay, this isn't just Mark thinks, Mark says. I get a lot of what molds my thesis or thought patterns based on research, right? It's what's really going on in the marketplace. Otherwise, it becomes just me search, right? A survey of one. And while that's important, we all have our lived experiences. I want to see where the trends are going. And so I've done a lot of studying with Gallup, who does a annual State of the Global Workplace report. And they focus on engagement. And they're reporting over the last several years that engagement is going down. So that's where you're hearing lack of engagement leads to quiet quitting and things of that nature. So I started thinking, what are the reasons for that? And the list comes out and hits you over the head with a 2x4. They're all very human issues. Feeling cared about at work, right? Having aligned and feeling a connection to my purpose at work. Feeling like I have clarity of what I'm supposed to be doing on the front end, but also getting regular and timely feedback with how I'm doing, right? Ability to do what I do best. Ability to learn and grow, on and on. And so when I looked at that list, that's how I developed my new model, which is all around putting love into the workplace and not the kind of love that's going to get you a quick call from HR and escorted out of the building by security.
HR appropriate love. HR appropriate
Yeah.
love.
And so you heard me talk about the LEAF model. This is the love model, which stands for listen, observe, value, and empower.
I love
So
that.
again, if you're a manager, you want to grow into a leader. A manager's transactional. We know how to manage projects and deadlines and resources and budgets and metrics of performance and people to get the job done. That's transactional. So if I'm working for you, and by the way, Daryl, I never say someone works for me in my career. I've said they work with me.
Of
But
course.
if you're a manager, I probably work for you because of that hierarchical management style. Okay. And I'll say, I must obey you. But if you grow into a leader, that's more relational.
Yeah, you don't want to be
Now
surrounded by a
I
bunch
want to
of
trust you.
people. Yeah, you don't want a bunch
Yeah.
of BS people that just tell you what you want to hear. You want to achieve a goal and a result. So that's honesty is really important.
Yeah. So you get to now become a leader and someone says, I want to follow you. Then you could stop there. But if you're a really good leader, the next step is someone says, not only will I follow you as a leader, but when it's my turn to lead, I will lead like you. And that's what I mean by
That's
creating a
powerful.
living legacy.
Yeah, that's powerful.
So going back to the love model, listening to someone with empathy and understanding, listening intently, actively to what they're saying, but also what they're not saying. We'd have to be naive, Daryl, to think that there may not be paradise in the home. Or there may be a sick kid who needs surgery, or maybe I'm dealing with an aging parent that I'm caring for. There are ways and opportunities for me to now listen and ask good questions. Because I noticed, Daryl, you're coming in a little late or you're leaving a little early. I noticed, Daryl, that the quality of your work's gone down a little bit. Is everything okay with you? And then if I have now built a trusting relationship, you'll go, yeah, Mark, I'm glad you brought that up because I'm really dealing with something at home, and I don't want to go into it in detail, but it's really impacting me. And then I'll say, I'm so sorry to hear that. I could tell something has been weighing on you. Is there anything I can do to support you? And there may not be, but just listening to that goes, I know that dude has my back, right? So we move from listen to observe. Andy Reid, the coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, doesn't wait for the annual performance appraisal. No one does well, no one likes to coach and provide feedback to his team. He's observing and coaching and mentoring and encouraging or critiquing in real time on the practice fields, in the team room, in the film room, before games, during games, halftime, after games, right?
Yep.
Because that feedback is so important. And we all know, as I mentioned from the Gallup study, is people need to feel seen and heard. Where else have we heard that? Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right?
That's right.
So when you get past safety and food and water and sex, you get into this whole thing of, I need to feel seen and heard, and I need to feel valued. So the next, word or letter V is for value the whole person, not just as a worker, but as a whole person, as a human being, just like you.
Yep.
And I look at this as having each one of us has four realms of service that comprise our whole being. We have to serve ourselves, that's personally, others relationally, those we love, those who love us, professionally, those we serve in the workplace, and spiritually. And whether that means religiously spiritual, like I might be, or maybe you feel like there's a connection to the universe and somehow we're all connected through magnetic energy, I don't know. But I think we all know we all have a personal spirit and that we emit our personal spirit to help bind ourselves as human beings to others. So by valuing the whole person, I'm not just talking about reward and recognition or compensation. Those are important.
Needs
Don't
to be
get me
genuine.
wrong.
It needs to be genuine. Yeah.
Genuine is right. And the way to make it genuine is valuing somebody enough to invest in them. So let's say, Daryl, you say, I've been hearing a lot about AI and I'm really interested in learning more about it. And I say, Daryl, hey, that's great. There's a conference in the Bay Area that's 2 or 3 days long, and I think it would be really helpful to immerse yourself where the experts are talking about it. And you say, I think that would be a great opportunity. And then we'd all come back and say, okay, but when you come back and absorbed and been immersed in this, I want you to put together a
Presentation.
tutorial for our team as to how we can use AI techniques to make our job satisfaction go up, our productivity go up. And then you say, sounds good. So I'm investing in you. If there's something that you value, you invest in it, right? You want to multiply it. And when you invest in something, you expect a return, right? And I know me, I'm invested in what stocks, bonds, whatever. I don't do it to give my money away. I do it to get a return
That's
that's
right.
greater than I could have gotten if I just stuck it in the bank or under a pillow.
Yeah, forget the bank.
So you're
Sell that one
listening.
down. But sorry.
Yeah, exactly, right? You're listening on a deeper, more empathetic level. You're observing and coaching and mentoring and critiquing in real time. You're valuing the whole person and you're investing in them. To what end? Now, the E stands for empowerment. We know we could stop at value, but if you're truly a leader that wants to grow into a legacy builder, you want to empower that person. So I'm going to say, Daryl, when you get back, I would love for you to create this presentation to the team. What resources do you need? How can I support you? And you might say, it's not that I need more resources. I've got three projects I'm working on, and if one of them could be taken off my plate for a while, I could get this done. And I say, okay. So then you come back and you've put this presentation together. All the while, I'm supportive. All the while, if you run into snags or roadblocks, I'm there to help pick you up. And then you all of a sudden present to the team to an ovation where they say, wow, Daryl, thank you so much. You just encapsulated in this hour or 2 hour presentation what it would have taken me a long time to get. And I can see the application to making my position more productive and my job satisfaction better than where it was before. So I liken it to when I learned to ride a bike. I don't know about you, Daryl, but I started on a trike, and I think it was a couple of years before the big wheel. But I remember one birthday, I got this beautiful royal blue Schwinn Stingray bike. And it had a banana seat and cool handlebars and a mag back tire. And I thought this is great, but I wasn't old enough to ride it by myself. So I had training wheels. You all remember training wheels? So I'm now getting pretty adept at riding around the driveway in the neighborhood with the bike with the training wheels because I know I won't fall. But I remember one Saturday morning and my dad woke me up and he said, Mark, son, it's time to take the training wheels off. Are you ready? And I'm like, yeah, because I know I wanted to be like the big kids. I had an older sister and older brother at that time and neighbors, and I wanted to be able to ride my bike.
Right.
But I had a lot of fear too, because when you delve into the unknown, there's going to be that fear, much like I told you about the roller coaster. There's a mixture of anticipation and fear. So we go out in the garage, he's taking him off, then we finally he gets me on the bike out in the driveway, and then finally on the sidewalk. And he didn't just say, go do what I said. He went alongside me and he talked to me. Mark, keep pedaling. You can't stop until it's time to stop. And when you are steering, you don't want to overcorrect because you'll wobble and fall. And of course, I wobbled and fell a few times because I can hear it, but you got to be able to do it. But Daryl, I remember when I got it and I was able to go down the street, stop on my own, turn the bike around, and drive back and stop there at the edge of the driveway. I don't know whose grin was bigger, mine or my dad's, because I felt a sense of freedom through that empowerment with skills and ability that I had inside me, but it took him to help get it out of me. So imagine if you're a leader at work, you are going to want to get the very most out of your team members
I love that.
and give them a sense of empowerment. Young people want autonomy. They want to be part of the conversation. They don't have the experience that the older folks do, but they still have opportunities to contribute. And they want to, and they want to learn, and they want to grow. They just don't want to be kept in the dark. That's what happened in my day. It was like you didn't even get into certain meetings unless you had a certain rank and position. You're missing out on innovation from younger people who grew up in a digital native environment, who
You're
have a
handicapping
different
yourself.
view of the world than you do, right?
Yes, 100%. You're handicapping yourself. If you don't, that's like about it's about capacity utilization. It's about getting the most you can from everything that you have. And one of the things that you have is a workforce of people that have different insights, experiences, and levels of interaction with the client, the product, the service. And you need all that feedback in order to make great decisions. So I love the
Agree.
LOV. So listen, observe, and value and empower.
Correct.
Observe, value, and empower. That's a great just mental checklist. Whenever, even if you had
Yeah.
customer service, even if you're talking with a potential client, to just listen and observe, do something that demonstrates value to them or that you value them, and then to empower
Yes.
them on whatever it is they're trying to achieve. This is a mental framework to go through.
Yeah,
That's
it
powerful.
is. So think about this in B2B, okay? Let's say you're selling a product or software or service to somebody. You first have to listen to them. What are their needs? What are they trying to accomplish with this? You need to observe what they're currently doing so you can coach them as to how your product or service will help make their life easier or better or more productive. You need to value the fact they've got experience. You don't want to be condescending. You want to be able to come to them and say, hey, I'm going to invest my time and energy in you. I'm not trying to just sell you something. Because most of us who've been on the buying side, I've been in countless requests for proposal meetings, and we've got these huge spreadsheets with checklists and scores. I'm telling you,
It's
it
just
is not hardly ever the one that scores highest on the technical stuff. It's ultimately, we say, who are we going to want to partner with? Because they're not going to just, like my dad, he didn't say, here's your bike, get on it, see ya. He guided me through that process. I want to work for a firm that's going to stay with me and help me ride that bike, because that bike wasn't cheap. So here I am buying your software or buying your service or whatever. I want to go with who is going to train me, be there for troubleshooting, have additional maybe products and services that once I get the hang of this can even enhance that. And so I want to empower the client or customer to be their very best. And I can only do that if I walk or trot along the bike with them.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I love that. Mark, this has been such a great call. There's so many good nuggets in this. People may want to listen to it more than once, but I also want to be respectful of your time. Is there anything that I haven't asked you yet that I should have asked you?
We've covered a lot of ground, and I will leave you with this. In addition to the LEAF model, that is a framework for building your business, the LOVE model, that's a framework for helping you grow from a manager to a leader to a legacy builder. That will help increase discretionary effort.
purposeful growth revolution
Sorry.
where the solution.
That was me
That
getting
was
near
my video.
already. We're getting near the end, and I'm getting ready to go to
Yeah.
markamir.com. And I,
Yeah. But I'd say my last one is being curious. Ask questions. I learned earlier in my career when someone said, Mark, you don't have to be the smartest guy in the room. Ask good questions. And here I was, this hired gun that was brought in to do turnarounds and this and that. And I thought I had to have all the answers. And they coached me and said, Mark, you've already got the job. Okay. But what I want you to do is get the most out of everybody else. And that hit me like a ton of bricks, of course. And so that changed the way I led and changed the way I interacted with my team members and how they interacted with me. And so now, years later, I'm getting the, hey, Mark, I remember when you said this, even if I don't remember saying it. I remember when you did something this way. I really admired that. That's what it means to be a legacy builder, because they then say, when it's my turn to lead, I'll lead like you. So be curious, ask questions, and never think you have all the answers, and always keep learning.
I love that. I love that. I love that. Yeah, this has been a great call. There's so much value in this. People haven't, they should go check out markamears.com, markamears.com. Take the quiz, take the test, take the free self-assessment, pick up a copy of his book, The Purposeful Growth Revolution, right? Purposeful Growth Revolution. Get a copy. Mark, this has been, like I said, I really mean that. It's something people may want to listen to more than once. A company is just a group of people solving the problem of another group of people, and they do it via a product or service. And so our customers are people, the staff we work with are people, our vendors are people. I think there's nothing more important than being able to work with people really well. And I just loved all the frameworks that we shared. So thank you so much for coming and sharing with my audience and I, knowing that you've got your own followers, your own listeners, your own people to lead. Thank you for coming and sharing with all of us so we can all lead a little bit better.
My pleasure, Daryl. Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it.